Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're live today in Seattle, Washington, and I am glad to be back on air after a few weeks off here. So, welcome. So, today we are going to talk about all kinds of things that listeners have emailed me about, so I'm calling the show, What Is That About? So, we'll have some fun today talking about things like Legos and astral projection and dreams and connecting to other realms and what the difference is between empathy and energy boundaries and a whole bunch of things. But before we get started, we're going to do a guided meditation with the Crystal Fallon. But I just want to emphasize that my work is about helping all of us tap our natural, intuitive, and healing abilities. We all have them. They are not gifts. They are just part of who we are as beings here on the planet. We just don't tap our intuition and our healing abilities. So we sometimes think they're extra. Well, we all are capable of using those talents to support us in our daily lives. Of course, we sometimes need additional help, just like in any other aspect of our life. But I'm here to encourage you to explore your intuition, to explore your natural healing abilities. And today, as every week, I encourage you to call in with questions, with comments on the subject today, even to get a quick intuitive reading. And that number is 202-570-7057. But if you're shy or if you just want to email a question or a comment, please do so at my website, robinfritz.com. That's RobinFritz.com. That's Robin at robinfritz.com. And that's where today's show's coming from. People who have emailed questions and comments have listened to shows and go, yeah, but what about? And so I'm always delighted to hear from people and to hear about what you're up to. So before we jump right into that show, let's start with a quick little meditation with the Crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz, very rare, an ancient healer and truth bringer. And as you connect with him, this is a way for you to also tap into your innate intuitive and healing abilities. So you'll connect with his energy, yes, here on the radio show, whether you're listening live or in the archives. And you'll connect with him the way your intuition works most strongly. So you may see pictures, you may hear him chat with you, you may feel his energy, or simply know that you're connected with him. And at the end of the show, we'll ground you back down and close out the show, because sometimes people connecting with Fallon, you know, your crown chakra is wide open and you may feel lightheaded or dizzy. So as you take your attention to the top of your head, imagine you're connecting with Fallon. It's a quartz, but there's a citrine cast to him, citrine Lemurian quartz. And as you breathe down from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, just release the cares of the day, all of the busyness of the day, so that you have this time for yourself and to join in the rest of the community of Om Times listeners. So breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And just feel that clear out. And then as you breathe up from your feet to the top of your head, you're welcome to invite Valence Energy to join with you and help boost you today. So moving up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head. So, and that reminds me, people have asked me about Fallon and how we connected, and we will get to that probably not in this show, but at upcoming shows, and talk about the strange things that happen in our daily life, but are really part of our basic everyday lives, right? So when we talk about tapping our intuitive and healing abilities, there are essentially four things that we need to explore when we're looking at a particular issue or situation in our lives, and that would be the facts of the situation. For example, I recently had cataract surgery. What are the facts? What is involved in that? What is the recovery time? What are you going to need to do? How are you going to take care of yourself and all of that? Or intellect then was another thing. What does your common sense tell you? Do you need that kind of surgery? Do you need any kind of medical intervention? What are other people's experience? What are the risk factors? What is your current situation and how is that, you know, affecting you? For me, my eyesight was impaired and I really wanted to get back to really seeing clearly, but you do know the risk factors involved. So then what are the emotions of any kind of situation that you're in? And so you're doing some intuitive experiment. What do you feel about that? You know, how are you afraid? Are you concerned? Are you curious? Are you just indifferent, not interested in that subject? All of those things. So facts, intellect, emotions are all part of the process. And then, of course, added to that is your intuition. What is your intuition telling you about a particular situation? And when all of those things come into play, you're fully exploring the world as you were created to explore those things. And that's the problem with a lot of us, is that we haven't learned to bring our intuition into the full experience. And there are things to consider when you do that. And when you leap into the intuitive world, a lot of which is unseen, you know, physically unseen, where there's just an awful lot out there to explore. And no one person can explore everything, right? So you hear all kinds of stories. You hear all kinds of ideas from people. You see teachers teaching certain things. And that's where your intellect, your common sense, your experience kicks in. And what about that particular thing? So one of the things that people email me about or that come up in sessions with clients are things that really bring us back to the issue of prejudice, okay? So what is it about a particular mindset or philosophical or even just basic approach to daily life? What is it about that you should believe or not believe in, and what are you really thinking about a situation? For example, what gives you power and what takes away your power? That's my big thing. I see a lot of people falling into a mindset or method of living because they're impressed by the power of a resident guru or some teacher or some book that they've read. And of course, that's the answer. So they believe in signs and synchronicity, and they believe in symbols, and they believe all kinds of things. And you know what? You're free to believe anything you want. The question is, when we're looking at something, how do we distinguish beliefs from prejudice, and how do we go about disagreeing with someone? And I have been really interested in the last few years about people, especially in the intuitive and in healing community, who are extremely and increasingly narrow-minded and prejudiced. And I think that the older you get, the more open you should be to everyone's experience out there. But I find that just not to be the case for a lot of people. So here are people saying, well, I haven't had that particular experience that you've had. So therefore, you're wrong. You're ungrounded. You're insane. You're whatever it is. You know what? There's an awful lot going on in the world, and I think we need to approach it with open minds and hearts. For example, my particular experience years ago, when I reconnected with my intuitive abilities, which I shut off sometime in my teen years, was that I'm a person who was born connecting with different realms. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that I have gone out and explored talking with things, talking, hearing things talk to me. That hearing is one of the intuitive abilities, and that's one way of really having a conversation with something who or someone who is not human. For example, animals, you've heard of animal communicators, trees, volcanoes, hurricanes, whatever. Beings that we might consider aliens, non-humans of some kind. And how do you go about approaching dealing with someone from a different dimension or a being who isn't human? And I find it really interesting that way back in the 70s, people were starting to talk to animals and starting to make it a profession and starting to help people understand that animals can communicate with us. And now, these days, most of us take that for granted, that yes, we can have a conversation with an animal. And why is that? Well, partly it's because we live very closely with them and they interact with us. And so we see a non-human interacting with us, not just in training them so they come when you call them, but responding to us when we're not feeling well, or responding to us because they're all excited and they want to go for a walk, or they're having fun with a toy. And our minds are open and our hearts are open. So body, mind, and spirit is connecting intuitively on that kind of a level. So what is it if someone comes to you and says, well, that's impossible to talk with an animal? I disagree with that, and therefore you are ungrounded and unbalanced. And I've seen this happening to people. It's happened to me with people saying, well, I don't believe that, so therefore you're wrong. And I've always approached things from the standpoint of, huh, that's interesting. Explain that to me. I'd like to understand that. And, you know, sometimes I don't agree with what people are saying. And how do you come to a realization of where that is in your life? Well, how do you evaluate things? Your personal prejudice doesn't make something right or wrong. It can actually get in your way, right? I find it getting in my way, and that's when I have to go, okay, wait, stop, Robin. Look at what's going on around you and what this person is thinking. What do you know about them? What do you know about their personal experience? I've been out all over the Pacific Northwest talking to people about experiences of teaching people how to connect with the land and the weather around them, working with their gardens and their homes. And I'm always welcoming questions, and I'm always welcoming people going, wait, I don't quite get that, right? Because I think learning and exploring things together helps us learn more, and no one person knows everything else. But if you've got someone out there, you know, wild and acting, you know, mentally ill, then that's another thing that you need to look at in terms of how people are relating and how you relate to them. So we know that, you know, most of our spiritual teachers out there with their books and their teaching philosophies, they have studied, they have worked really hard to learn what they're learning. Doesn't mean they're right or wrong. Doesn't mean you're right or wrong. It just means that's their experience. If you're interested in what their experience, then ask questions. Read what they've written. Study their websites. Study their videos. And think about what is it that you agree with? What is it you don't agree with? It, and why? How does that work for you? And that's how I became open to exploring the world around me, and it's something that I'd like you as listeners to take away from the conversation today as we get into a little bit more of the details, is when if you're interested in working with, say, a non-human, or even just having a conversation or being more connected to the world around you, how do you go about doing that? If you're so focused on yourself and on what you're getting, are you being open to having a connection with someone else? I think of it as something like the United Nations. People come to the United Nations, they can't speak the same language, so they have interpreters. And so they rely on the interpreter to give them the information that's being expressed in a meeting in their language that they can understand. So when I was going out meeting non-humans, and the first thing I noticed was that they were interested in communicating with me because I was interested in them. Right. So people say, how can you talk to a rain cloud or a volcano? And you just introduce yourself. You say, hi, my name is whatever your name is. Would you like to have a conversation? Would you like to share what you do? And you'll be amazed at how open the world is, because other beings out there are just waiting for us to step up and have a conversation with them and to learn and explore together. And, you know, and that brings me to one of the questions a client raised, which is, okay, you say, Robin, that everything is alive out there and everything chooses the body that it needs to be in for the job that it chose for that lifetime, okay, which is what we do. We choose our bodies to grow our souls. What happens next, right? So people say, okay, that's fine, but I don't understand how something could choose to be a Lego. So we'll talk about that when we come back after the break. If you have questions, you want a quick reading, 202-570-7057.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for. That new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee, and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about, what's that all about? So a long introduction to the subject is essentially, what is your experience in the world? What is your experience with the physical world? And then when you're out exploring the world intuitively, tapping your natural intuitive abilities, what is that all about? And what are you going to find out? And I'm urging you to be open-minded and to approach the world from a different standpoint than we've thought about doing. And that's from a perspective that I call planetary connection. And I call it that because for some years before I started working with people, I was working with non-humans just out there meeting things as they showed up. And my spiritual team at the time was going, yeah, you know, you're waking up, you've chosen this particular job to do in the world, you know, to work between dimensions with non-humans. You've done it in previous lifetimes. And of course, I'm going, what the heck are you people talking about? But to do that, I needed to go out and find out what was going on in the world. And being a very curious person, and also someone who, you know, really, I don't know, either naive or not naive, call it what you will, I just figured everything out there was open and available to talk. And certainly my spiritual team backed that up. But in working with beings like Mount St. Helens, which is our very active volcano here in Washington State, I began to be very aware that my looking at animals as beings that have consciousness and souls extended to the rest of the universe. So every being out there, Planetary Connection teaches that every being out there is alive, things that we see and don't see, from wind systems to volcanoes to the ocean to the jet stream to radio waves. Everything is alive. Everything has a soul, has consciousness, has a job to do, a decision, free choice about whether it's going to do that, and opinions. And it's fascinating to have conversations with all these different beings and find out what they're there for. And that raises the question of what is a Lego's job? Well, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in the seminars, in the workshops that I've taught, is that people become very uncomfortable when they think that something that we created as humans could have consciousness. Like, what does that mean? Does that make us gods? No, it just makes us people who created things. Just like birds build nests, we build homes. And because we need other things to support us, we have windows in those homes and we have grocery stores to buy our food in, and it goes on and on and on. And we create things like toys to play with. So then we can really get involved in this. I remember having a conversation with a gentleman at an art gallery opening of all things. And he was asking me a question. I said, yes, the paint on the wall is alive. And he goes, oh my God, the paint is alive and the drywall is alive and all of that. And he goes, either you should be making millions of dollars or you should be locked up somewhere. And we had a good laugh about that, because you really can't go around thinking about the consciousness of the paint on the walls and your pictures and everything else and still manage to get through your day. So you have to be discerning in what you're open to have a conversation with, because otherwise everything would be flooding through you. That's why I have business hours, if you will. Things that want to come and chat with me have to come at a certain time, and my spiritual team monitors that and gives me time off, so to speak. But everything has a job to do, and everything chooses the form that it comes into the world in order to do that job. So what is the job of a Lego? I don't know. I don't know what the job is a Lego, but they're learning something, right? And the question is, did it choose the right body to become a Lego? Well, maybe and maybe not. And here's a story to kind of make you think about that. When my soulmate dog Murphy died in 2012, I was cleaning out the kitchen cupboard or drawers. Excuse me. And I knew her death was coming, but still it was really hard, as all of you know who have lost a loved one. And I was just taking time to let it all process. And in one drawer, I came up with dozens of deli lids from the grocery store, but no containers. So all lids and no containers. And I was like, what the heck? So I had a big garbage bag, and I was just had a whole bunch of them in my hand, and I was starting to put them in the garbage bag. And I'm thinking, why the heck do I have all of these deli lids? You know, and your normal answer would be because you use the containers, you didn't use the lids, and eventually you threw the containers away and you had all these extra lids because you don't bother to clean your drawers, Robin. But that was not the answer. That was part of the answer. As I started to throw the deli lids away, all of a sudden the deli lid said, we have been holding space for you in your grief. And I was like, what the heck? And I was shocked. Even though I teach that everything is alive, I was not expecting to have a conversation with leftover deli lids. And they really said to me, "We have observed your grief. We have been helping you heal. And we have been acting as containers for that space." And when you think of a deli lid, it actually holds the contents of the container inside, you know, so it doesn't spill if you drop it. And literally the deli lids were holding the lid on my grief. And I was like, oh, you know, at first I was shocked. And my next thought was, oh, my God, now I'm going to have to build a shrine to deli lids and I'll never be able to throw anything away again. And the next response was, it's okay, throw us away. You're fine. You've processed the grief. Our job is done. Throw us away so that we can go on to our next experience. And I was like, oh my God, it was really a sacred moment. And it was came out of nowhere, which maybe is what the best ones are, right? I was not expecting that. So when you ask, what is the purpose of a deli lid? What is the purpose of a Lego? You know, people talk about the ages of souls. I don't know. I really haven't met any souls that are first-time souls. Other people tell me there are new souls and older souls. And I had one person tell me, oh, God, you're older than dirt, Robin. And I'm like, great. Thank you. Don't know how to take that, really. But a Lego may be just experience a soul experiencing being in a form that people enjoy having fun with. Maybe it wanted to play with little kids. I don't know. I haven't actually talked to a Lego. In fact, I have never actually seen a Lego. But this question came from a client with small children. So the answer to the universe is that we don't have all the answers, right? But we know that everything takes a form to experiment in, to learn to grow in. And maybe the deli lid or the Legos didn't choose the right form for them, and maybe they did and we just didn't notice. Maybe they're there supporting us like we're supporting them, and we don't have to have all the answers in the world, but we do, I think, have a greater respect for the world around us and the universe around us if we look at everything as having a purpose, a sacred purpose, a physical purpose, an everyday ordinary purpose, just like we do. And so that Lego is out there doing its thing. And it's a lesson in not making judgments on things. Who knows? Maybe the Lego made a mistake. Maybe the soul that went into the Lego made a mistake and it didn't want to be a Lego anymore. Or maybe it decided after it came home from the grocery store as a deli lid, that it had a purpose in a household where there was grieving going on, as in my case. And I was blessed to have that short conversation with deli lids to remind me that everything around me is alive, especially in my home, including my home itself, and that I wasn't alone in my grief, and that you are never alone, even when you think you are, even if you know no other human being on the planet. And so many people these days are lonely. You're not alone, because the things that are in your home are there to support you, just as you're there to support them, giving a chair a space to live out its life as a chair or a deli lid. And so think about that, because it is pretty amazing. So another question is, what are dreams? You know, dreams are interesting. Well, I don't know. People have told me they've had very elaborate dreams. People have dreamt about deceased loved ones. People have dreamt about things that are going to happen. Precognition, you know, being aware of something that is coming, an event that is going to happen, is really the most common intuitive experience out there. So we've all heard stories, at least those of us in the United States, heard stories of people having dreams of skyscrapers suddenly being on fire or being hit by planes and people falling out of buildings. And when 9/11 happened, they saw what they were dreaming of happening there live in front of them on TV. So people do have dreams about things that are coming. People do often have dreams about their deceased relatives. I've talked to a number of people who have said, well, so-and-so came back and I saw them in my dream. Is it real? Was it real to you? then it was real. I mean, I'm not going to tell you whether your dream was real or not real. You're the one that had the experience. If you feel it was real, then it was real. And one dreaming is one way that our loved ones, as well as our spiritual teams, can come in and connect with us. Why? Because our rational, this can't be happening thing is kind of turned off when we're sleeping, right? So we're a little bit more open. I know that in some of the early years of my training, I was getting training during my dream time. And I would wake up sometimes during that dream time and go like, wait, what is that all about? And the person that I was learning from in the dream, a spiritual team member or so, or whoever it was like, oh, you were dreaming. Go back to sleep so we can finish your lesson, you know. And it's all very fascinating. So you can keep track of your dreams. There are whole books written on that. I don't know how much I believe of everybody else's experience. Just like I'm not sure how many people believe mine. But monitor your experiences. Keep a notebook of your dreams. What are you learning in your dreams? What are you experiencing? How do you know it's a dream, and how do you know it's something else? As an example, years and years ago, my grandmother died. And 6 months later, I had this dream. And I dreamt I was walking into a building, really, really tall building, this ordinary big square gray building, and it was huge. And the interesting thing was, right before I walked into the building, I looked down and I saw myself sleeping in bed. And I went, oh, well, this isn't really a dream anymore. This is something else. Even though I was sound asleep, there was a part of my consciousness that knew I was asleep and the dream that I was in wasn't really a dream. So what was it? An astral visitation of some sort, or my astral traveling, which is another thing we may get to today or in another episode coming up, because I have lots of questions from people. But as I walked into that building, I realized that all the people in that building were dead except for me. And there were things going on in rooms, and there were people that I saw in there that I hadn't seen since I was a kid. And I was like, huh, is that person dead? You know, I was like, huh, what is going on here? And I sat near the railing of this central square area in the middle of this building. Now, normally I don't like heights. So normally I wouldn't go near a railing, especially when I knew if I looked over, it would just go down forever and ever and ever, because it was just a building that couldn't physically exist on the planet because it was that tall. But I sat down anyway, and I just waited, because there was something about the whole experience that told me I was waiting for something. So then came this little woman in this pink dress, coat dress with a pink hat, and it looked just like my grandma used to look like one year on Easter Sunday, you know, when they used to dress up for things. And I looked at her, and and she walked by me, and I got up and I walked over to her, and she's standing against the wall, and I look at her, and we're just looking at each other. And then I finally said, are you my grandma? And she's looking at me like, come on, grow up, quit being such an idiot. And she nodded, and I'm like, yeah, but aren't you dead? You know, and she's like looking at me like, come on, like you're smarter than that. And she just waved for me to follow. And so we started out of the building in this long line of people walking away from the building. Well, here's the thing. The further we got down this hallway, the less comfortable I was. I was like, this doesn't feel right. Now, I remember my grandmother not believing in hell. I don't believe in hell either. I still don't. I don't believe in any of those things. Believe in something else entirely. But right then in that dream, I really wasn't interested in finding out if hell was real or not, because I had a feeling that I was going to. And it wasn't hell as we think of it. It was walking into a place where we had not fulfilled our, not our destiny, but what we came here to do, what we wanted to do, what we even decided we wanted to do on a conscious level while we were living our lives. And it means all of our jobs are valuable, whether we're fitting shoes or bagging groceries or working on people's cars or doing what I'm doing or doctors or whatever you are. All your work is really valuable, and it's choosing that work that matters. It's I'm going to be the best that I can be at bagging these groceries, at being a cashier, at helping people find what they need in the store. Whatever it is, that is your fulfilling your purpose in life in a physical job kind of thing. Well, as I just finally stepped out of that line, and my grandmother stepped out with me, and I said, okay, like, what's going on here? I don't quite get this. And she said, I came back to talk with you. She said, you aren't fulfilling what you came here to do. You need to write stories for the good. And I'm like, what the heck? Because I've always been a writer. I'm happy to say I just sold a book. But at the time I was writing fiction and thinking about nonfiction, and I had been really, really ill for a long period of time, so for many years that I couldn't work at all. She said, you have to write stories for the good. And she pointed to the line that we had sipped out of, and she said, you're not really fulfilling what you want to do and what you came here to do. And then she pointed to the line that I came in with, and she goes, these are the people who are coming in at the end of their lives. Their lives are over, and they're learning what they experienced, and they're learning how they grew and didn't grow, and you know what they could do next. But it's just fulfilling your purpose in life, you know, whatever that is, whatever job you came to do. And that was it. That dream was over. But was it a dream? Not a dream like you would normally experience. It was an actual visitation from my grandmother, and it stayed with me all of these years. She had something she wanted to say to me, and she honored me by coming back and saying it. You know, it wasn't like I was asking to be lectured to, but I knew she came from a place of love. She had always supported me as a woman, as a person, in a culture where nobody, accepted women. So are your dreams real? What are they doing? Who knows? Hang on, we'll be right back.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about questions from listeners. So we've been talking about the purpose of Legos, or the purpose of what other beings are up to in the world, talking about prejudice and mindset and how you think through a situation that you experience, or that you're listening to what someone else has experienced, and, you know, how is that going to fit into your worldview? And we talked about dreams. So I was talking about the dream about my grandmother. I hear all these wonderful stories about people with vivid dreams. And as I said, I actually was learning in dreams from teachers. And I was told in that dream sequence that I had some years ago that that was one way they were teaching some of us how to do their work, or how to trust in their work. And it was fascinating. And I guess the answer is the world is more mysterious than we know, and the universe itself as well. And why did we need to learn in our dream time? Well, I could see the people that I was working with in the dream time. There were just a few of us. We came from different places all over the planet. So maybe that was our spiritual team's way of bringing us together. Also, we were learning things that aren't really talked about very much out there right now. So maybe there weren't any physical in-body teachers. Some of the people there were people that I recognized from pictures on the internet and things like that. So maybe they were carrying their teaching into the dream realm, where it could be on a different level. All I know about my experience with dreams, and experiment with this as you keep track of your dreams, is that the experiences that I had in dreams were answering questions or raising questions. And that was helping me grow, and it was helping me filter through the experiences I was having. It was helping me learn discernment in the intuitive realms, which we all need to learn. So all of that is extremely valuable. If you're open to what's out there in the world, if you create safeguards for yourself, which is finding a really good spiritual team that's on the job 24/7, then you too can have those kinds of experiences if you're willing and open to them. I strongly urge, and I teach, all of my students must have worked very hard and continue to work hard on creating a strong spiritual team, spirit guides, if you will. Because when you get out and start experiencing the intuitive realms, you find out that world is just as dangerous as the physical world that we live in, and perhaps more so, because we aren't taught what is out there and how dangerous it can be. And so this is a word of caution for you. Don't try doing things without a good, strong spiritual team supporting you, because they're far more aware of the things out there that can interfere with your personal spiritual development, as well as your physical well-being. And if you have this conversation with other people who are working as intuitives or healers, you will find people saying things like, nursing homes are littered with the bodies of failed intuitives, meaning that if you don't take care of yourself while you're experimenting, you're going to not just burn yourself out, but you could get yourself into some real trouble, because there are things out there that are not friendly to humans or other beings. There are things out there that exist right now only in a non-physical way, but that can still create havoc in the physical world. I've gone up against them in battle, so to speak. I know very well how dangerous they are. And in a sense, I am trying to scare you if you're listening and still listening, because I want everybody to be safe out there. But you can have wonderful experiences exploring the universe with your intuitive team, meeting other beings who are anxious to meet us, because humans are the only ones who aren't out there in large numbers exploring these realms, because What we either don't know that they exist, or we're too busy with our daily physical lives to be bothered, or we don't know how to approach them. And your very basic way is with common sense and respect for them as other beings. I mean, if you don't look at other beings as being equal to you, as having a soul and having consciousness and having jobs to do and free choice and opinions, then you're not going to be open to having conversations with them, because you're not going to think it's worthwhile to you. They're not equal to you, so you're not going to bother. And trust me, they understand when you have that opinion, and they're not going to show up and be interested in connecting with you. And we learn an awful lot about the world and the universe from having those kinds of experiences. So one more thing I'm going to tap on briefly today, and we'll continue this conversation in another show coming up. But the question, if you have dreams, pay attention to them, keep records of them, and explore them. And if they become rapidly changed, like the story I was talking about with my grandmother, then you will know during that having that experience that it is very different from a regular dream. So, and that is also the case with the experience that people call deja vu. So someone was asking me, what is deja vu? You know, what's that all about? Well, I don't know. You know, we've all had that experience where, you know, something seems to be familiar to us. The experience that we're having seems familiar, or the place that we suddenly go to seems familiar to us. So, you know, I was a little bit curious about how other people experienced it. And, you know, scientifically, some people consider deja vu being connected to epilepsy. That it can occur right before a temporal lobe seizure. I have no idea about that. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I just thought I'd throw it out there. Because not all of us have epilepsy, but we do have deja vu experiences. Other people attribute it to wish fulfillment or fantasy or some sort of things or whatever. Maybe even past life experience. My experience with deja vu has been related to past life experiences, even when I didn't know past lives were real, and years ago. And actually, I was a child when I had my first sort of deja vu experience. My family was getting ready to go to Canada on an outdoorsy venture. And that's all I knew. We were going to Canada, and we were going to go on a fishing trip, and we were going to have a lot of fun doing it. But for days before the trip, I kept having the same dream. And I know I never said this to anyone in the family, because even then, my experiences were making people look at me really weirdly. In fact, my dad, who's been dead 20-some years and who works with me from the afterlife, still says I was a weird child. And like, okay, if he doesn't know by now, what did he think about me back then when I was a kid? So the dream I was having was that I was a woman of about, maybe 25 or 30. And I was on horseback in this area that was canyons and cliffs. And there was a house on one of the cliffs across the canyon from me, and I was on horseback being chased and reining in the horse. And every single time that dream ended with me looking over the canyon at this house and realizing I was going to die and I was not going to make it back to wherever it was that I was being hunted. Now, I was a kid, okay, so you could see watching too much Bonanza or something like that, but I kept having this dream. And it was just weird. And I remember being tired. Well, there we were driving to Canada. And all of a sudden, I got this feeling like, oh, my God, I know this place. I know this place. Like, how could I know this place? We've never been here. And there it was. The canyons, the cliffs, even the house. that I had been seeing in my dreams. All of it was there, except for the woman on horseback. And we drove past this place, now a freeway past it, and I was just in complete shock. And I had no idea what was going on. All I knew was that I had had a dream about that place and that person and all of that place. It was all real. We had never seen pictures of where we were going. Nothing. I mean, this was just out in the country kind of thing. So my only conclusion of that, even to this day, was that I was reliving a past life experience, and that somehow my physical body going to that place was somehow pulling that experience in and remembering it because I was going physically back to that place. But how did my soul know I was physically going back to that place? I don't know. All I'm saying is that was a real experience for me as a child. And I've heard from other people talking about their childhood experiences or even experiences as adults with, oh my gosh, this is familiar to me. And I certainly had an experience like that traveling in Italy years and years ago, going with my goddaughter, and we were in Siena, I think, and we wanted to visit this place, and we walked into this convent, and there was a little gift store there, and I had just really been drawn to visiting this place, and I walked in, and the woman behind the counter, a nun, looked up and saw me, and she did a double take and her eyes went wide, and she came over and she just ignored everybody else around. She came over and she took my hand, and she was speaking to me in Italian, which I didn't understand a word of what she was saying because I'm a barbarian American and can really only speak English. And she was just so reverential and so kind. And I was looking at her like, oh, I know you, you know. And I think that, again, was deja vu and past life experience. And she took me into this convent cell, and she just, you know, it's like, sit down and be here. And then afterwards, there was a priest there who spoke English, and she had him talk with us, and he gave us a little tour of another place. And it was clear to me at the time that she recognized me, and it wasn't my physical body, it was my soul, just like I was recognizing her soul. So are we meeting soul group members? I think so. Maybe. But, you know, the whole point of this hour is to explore things people have raised as questions, to give you my experience and to say, wow, the world is more mysterious than we know, and to explore it. I mean, we're here to have adventures, to grow our souls. We're here to find out more about the world around us, to add to the knowledge base. So when you're out there going to a webinar or in-live seminar, if you're going to somebody's talk, be discerning. Decide for yourself how well balanced they are. Are they saying things you've never heard before? Do they seem matter of fact? That's what people come up to me and say, wow, I've never heard anybody talk about that subject, but you're so matter of fact about it. Now I'm curious. I want to know more. I want to explore this. And that's what we should be doing, listening to each other, having experiences, sharing our experiences, growing together, because there's so much out there in the universe. There's so much that we can pull into our daily lives. And if that helps us make the world better for us and for others and for those coming along behind us, isn't that partly what it's all about? Learning and growing and sharing together? I think so. And I think that the more we do that, the more open-minded we become, the more we can bring healing to the planet, to other people on the planet, the more that we can make the way easier for the non-humans to not just interact with us, but do their own jobs in the world, because our lack of doubt and our pushing our doubt and our disbelief and our refusal to think that anything could be alive besides us really does hamper other beings in doing their job. So think about it. And you're always welcome to email me with questions, with comments. You're always welcome to call into the show. Again, you can also find me for my work. I do personal and business intuition, mediumship, animal communication, space clearing, past life and between life regression, a process I call soul progression clearing, which is helping you to clear out a block without making any judgments on what it is, although sometimes we do learn what it is, and then filling you up with healthy, positive energy. You are important to the world. Each one of us is important. We have a contribution to make, and one of those contributions is learning how big the world and the universe really are, how important everyone is to the overall healthy functioning of our planet and of the universe. And so go out there and explore. Be careful. You know, get yourself a really good spirit guide. If your spirit guide isn't up to the task, then do what I do. Call in Archangel Michael and get one that is. Because what you may discover may not just help your life. It may help somebody else. It may certainly add what we call leaven or yeast to the world and making things better for all of us. So we'll be covering this subject again. I'm just getting back to work after having several things going on in my life. So we're covering this subject and other things that people have brought up. Also talking about practical intuition in our life with animals. So for today, thank you for being with me. Close out the hour, cross your hands on your heart, breathe in healthy energy. Allow that crown chakra to close down from connection with Fallon and be at peace. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you next week. Take care.